Every time I do that meditation, I do it myself, and there's a little bit of sensitivity in connecting, revisiting my child self, and it contributes to an a bit of tenderness that comes in. And sometimes it can make me emotional, sometimes just lighthearted. I kind of take on a childlike view of things, but continue to kind of work with it and think about it over the days and see what it offers you. So I'm going to move into the formality of my talk. And before I begin my talk, I want to take a moment to dedicate this evening to someone who has deeply shaped my path in this field and whose spirit I believe and know is present with us. His name is Dr. James Doty. Jim was a renowned neurosurgeon and the founder of the Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education at Stanford. But to many of us, he was more than all of his titles. He was a teacher. He was a mentor. He sponsored me, opened doors for me in so many ways. And he was a heartfelt visionary who helped bridge science and soul, compassion and neuroscience. And Jim passed away last month. And I know I'm not the only one who felt his passing deeply. Excuse me, his belief in the power of compassion to transform our lives and our world was not just an idea, it was something that he lived. And I always thought of him as like kind of tag you're it. Like the next person and the next person to kind of keep this compassion, what I've started to call revolution, alive. Jim believed that one person, one connection, one act of care could change the trajectory of a life. And so tonight or today or this afternoon, wherever you're listening from, I feel his presence in this field we're creating together. And I just offer this reflection in his memory and in the spirit of his life's work. So there's a phrase that I love that says, sometimes the most powerful medicine is the presence of someone who sees you, who really sees you. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, how one connection can change everything. And I know we live in a time of immense disconnection. We scroll, we swipe through life, often missing what's right in front of us, including ourselves. But healing and true healing begins in presence, and presence is what allows for connection. So sometimes we think healing requires this big intervention. years of therapy, the right diagnosis, the perfect spiritual retreat. And while those things can help, sometimes it can start with something much smaller. It can start in a moment. It can start with a word. It can start with a breath. It can start with a single compassionate glance that says, you are not alone. And I have a bunch of stories, and I was trying to think of one to share, but I think I can get them both in if I share quick enough. So years ago, I was sitting in a room with a room of strangers. I go to a lot of workshops and retreats and compassion retreats, mindfulness retreats. And my close friends aren't into it. So when I'm going to these things, I'm often don't know anybody. I'm going by myself. And so I was kind of tired. I was unsure. I wasn't even really sure why it was there because I was thinking, how many more retreats do I need to go to? Right? How many more compassion retreats or mindful retreats? But it has kind of become a part of my lifestyle. And so during one of the breaks, a woman that I had barely kind of noticed, and to my knowledge, she hadn't noticed me, but she turned to me and she looked me right in the eye and she said, I see something in you. And that was it. Like I almost broke out and started crying. I mean, something kind of cracked open in me, and I hadn't realized how long I've been waiting for someone to see me. And I think that if I think back to when I was a child, I was that child who was very excited about life. Like, yay, I can do this. And yes, I can be that. I was that kid, but I didn't see that. Like, it was like nobody saw my light, or that's how I felt at the time. Nobody sees I'm excited about life. Nobody's seen that. Fortunately, I had a couple of good teachers that saw me and kind of helped nurture who I was becoming. And you know, when she said that, I was seen in that moment. It was like I was seen, I was felt, I was known. It didn't fix everything, right? But it kind of started something because when she did that, I kind of came up and out. Like I kind of lit up. Just from that little simple, quick encounter, there was a connection that was made, and it was like a new thread of possibility. And that's what connection does. It doesn't necessarily erase wounds, but it gives it air. It gives it light. It gives it a chance to heal. And if I look at my life, fortunately, every year, every few months, I have an encounter with a random stranger very often where we make that little connection. And I see them and they see me, and we exchange a few words and a laugh. And then we're on our way. And for me, those are my fixes, right? From the more depression and pressure of things that are going on. And I'll say that if you're empathic at all, then sometimes you're not just picking up on your own troubles and traumas from life that we all experience, but you're picking up on it from your neighborhood, from your neighbors, and from your friends, and from the news media and social media, and from what's going on in the United States or in wherever country you're in, and you're picking up from the world. So it's a lot on an energetic level. And so we have these are, what would I call these? These are maintenance tips. These are ways that you can, these are encounters that you can create and have that add a bit of a light and lift in your everyday. So I think this is one of the reasons why compassion and self-compassion is so essential, because it's hard to offer others what we haven't tasted ourselves. If we can't pause to see our own pain with kindness, like we can acknowledge to ourselves, yeah, that was tough, or that hurt my feelings. Like I don't have to blast it out to anybody. I can have compassion for myself. I can notice when I'm the one that's suffering, and I can offer myself some care, not being overindulgent. I'm not talking, not get carried away to the point that it becomes, it's all about me all the time. That's not what I mean. I mean that when we learn how, when we practice how to hold compassion for ourselves, it becomes a pathway to being able to offer others compassion. And when we do, when we soften toward ourselves, it expands and increases what I think our capacity to love, to serve, and to show up for others. And that ripple from self to other, from inner to outer, is really what I believe to be the foundation of what I'll call collective healing. And it's become part of my life's work, because I can see how it's working in my own life, and I can see the rippling out. And especially when I'm in environments like this, where people are coming together, you realize that you chose to come together with other people instead of go away from other people. And I'm sure we don't all agree on everything. And we don't have to, right? But you have entered a space where people can connect and where healing can occur, where you can learn more about neuroscience and all of the different things that you are learning in these weekly sessions. So I think about in Buddhist teaching, as you probably know, it's often said that the next Buddha may not come as a person, right? But as the Sangha, as the beloved community. And I believe that. I don't know if I used to believe that, but the more of these workshops and convenings and opportunities to connect with other people, especially in community, it ignites a knowing within me that I don't know if I can scientifically prove, but that I feel is true. I believe it. And so I would say it almost makes me, not to get on religion per se, but it does confirm the thought that I have of the benefit that people experience in going to church every week, right? There's something in coming together with other people in community for a good cause. Right? You can kind of get your resonate with others and learn something, hopefully, right? Especially in this setting, you're learning, you're practicing, you're witnessing, you're discussing. And I just believe that every act of compassion, every moment of seeing and being seen helps us build that community right here together. Some people who I may not have had an opportunity to get to know outside in the real world from day to day, I might connect with in these chat rooms, that the breakout rooms. I've had the deepest connections and conversations with people in different countries who I don't know, but I have connected with them in the breakout rooms in a deep way. I've discussed things with people in these groups that I haven't discussed with people in my life. So there's, you're on to something. Let me say it that way. The fact that you're here, that's the first step, showing up in these spaces. So I am also a creative artist, so a and also a storyteller of a kind, because I have my notes and then I notice I kind of start telling the story around it. So I hope you're okay with that. But I titled this talk, The Power of One Connection. Because so often we think big change has to come through big gestures. And some change does occur with big gestures. But what I've noticed is that healing often comes from one conversation. Well, does it heal my whole life? Maybe not. But I mean, I experience a lift from one conversation, from one teacher, from one friend who listens, from one moment where someone sees your pain and doesn't look away. I teach workshops on compassion coming out of Stanford Center for Compassion. And we purpose, well, compassion means witnessing suffering, and feeling this internal desire to mitigate the suffering, right? And so I say a little kind of a joke that if I called it the suffering workshop, nobody would probably sign up, right? But when we're talking about compassion, we are talking about suffering. We're talking about witnessing suffering. We notice in a mindful way that someone is suffering or that we're suffering. We feel this internal desire. We call it the moistening of the heart. The heart moistens, the heart gets engaged. So I notice, then I feel something. And I feel this internal desire to mitigate the suffering of whoever is suffering. And the thing is, sometimes I'm the one who's suffering. Maybe not the worst thing ever, but I suffer too, right? And so I want to, over my lifetime, cultivate the ability to recognize when I'm suffering and offer myself some care. Not excuse me if I've done something wrong. It's offering myself care in the moment. Human care. Right? And how I do it takes on a variety of forms. So I could, if I'm stressed at work, and I realize I'm getting stressed at work, showing compassion for myself might be taking a break. Okay, I need a break. It could be going off camera if I'm in a day-long meetings of Zooms. It could mean taking a walk. It could mean petting my dog. It could mean calling a friend. You get to decide. What it means for you. And with another person, healing can come just from one conversation, one teacher, one friend who listens, you listening to yourself. And as I said, one moment where someone sees your pain and doesn't look away. I know it because I lived it and am living it. As a teacher, as a mother, as a daughter, and as a survivor, I'm someone who is walking through my own healing. And I just say that sometimes you're the one who needs the compassion. So you might, when I say the power of one connection, if you need the compassion, hopefully you have a friend or a pet or someone who can connect with you. And sometimes you're the one who offers the compassion. And sometimes it's both. You need compassion. And you're offering compassion. So I'm thinking for you, I want to say a few more things, and I want to save just a little bit of maybe 10 minutes or so at the end of my talk to engage with you. I'm a professor. I'm used to calling on my students when I'm in these Zoom settings. So I don't want to outright put pressure on anyone. But at the end, I would love for any of you who are open to it to just share what has come up for you as a consequence of either the meditation or this talk that I'm giving. And I want you to think about this. Where might one connection or one word or one act of presence open a door today or tomorrow or the next day? Because one thing I realize, there's always an opportunity to connect. And sometimes you might think you're connecting for yourself, But you're really giving the other person something by connecting with them. The other story I was going to share was it was during Christmas holiday, I believe, and I was in Whole Foods Market and I rushed in to get something really quick. And there was a woman who was, my dog's, there was a woman who was in front of vegetables and the fruit that they have in the front. And she was grabbing, weeping right there. And so, yes, I could have walked by and gone on because I wasn't hurrying. I was just a second. Sorry, my dog is just going. I was in a hurry. And so I kind of wanted to run in there and run out, but I couldn't. I couldn't. I went right up to it. So what did I notice? In a mindful way, mindfulness being present in the moment and noticing, I noticed her. So sometimes before you can show compassion, you have to notice something. So I saw her mindfully. I saw her. I read the sign. She's sobbing. And compassion, my heart was moistened. I felt something at the heart level. And I went right to her. And I was, at first I didn't even say anything. I was really, I mean, she was like broke down. So I wasn't talking and I was kind of hugging and trying to comfort her. And then finally she told me that her husband had passed away and this was their favorite time of year. And they would come to the grocery store on Christmas Eve or whatever. It was a couple of days before Christmas. And it just hit her right when she walked into the store. And so I stayed with her. To be honest, I didn't quite exactly know what to say, but I was present. I kind of held on as she sobbed and patted. And then her friend, who she had come in the store with, came and kind of took over. And, she just thanked me. And then, afterwards I was thinking, no, thank you. Thank you. Because I was in a hurry and you caused my heart to crack open and for me to share a human experience with a total stranger. And I'm not saying that someone needs to be suffering in that way for us to show them compassion. But I'm just saying we're definitely, it appears, living in times where people could use a smile or a pat, where people could use compassion. Yeah. So your homework, I'm known to assign homework, although I won't know if you comply, is to think about where might you be able to offer compassion to yourself or to someone else? And I would also say that if nothing else, you can let this moment be the moment. Let this space be the place that you remember. Maybe I won't see you in a grocery store, right? Or see you in the elevator going to the doctor's office. Made some great connections with people I'll never see again in elevators. But in this space, I want you to remember, and I'm speaking to myself as well, that you matter. When she recognized me, I felt that I mattered because she saw me. You matter. You're not alone. And your presence is powerful medicine. Sometimes just your presence, especially with a friend or someone in need, you know those times you don't even need to say a lot, just showing up. And I think the thing I want to emphasize is that as you learn to cultivate compassion for yourself, it helps you have compassion for others. And as you learn to have compassion for others, it helps you have compassion for yourself. Make sense? Let me look around at you, see if you're still there. Yeah, thank you, Dan. Dan with the thumbs up. I appreciate it. So, I would love to get some shares if that's possible. First, I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for allowing me to share in this space. I always want to come myself, but during the regular school year, I teach on Wednesday nights. So it's in the summer that I beg Rick, can I come back? Can I come back? And he was nice enough to invite me before I head back to school. So I want to thank Rick and all of the helpers of Rick and the community for this gift of presence. You have something special. I got goosebumps. You have something special here week after week. And may these connections we create here ripple outward in ways we may never fully see. But I feel that they matter. And yeah. Part of your homework, I made a note, so I want to make sure I name it since I just started doing my own thing and stopped looking at my notes. Okay. I kind of said this, but let me go through them again. I'll leave you with a few gentle questions. What would it mean to let yourself be seen with loving eyes? So think about that. What would it mean to let yourself be seen with loving eyes? Probably kind of in the way that you had loving eyes looking at your child self. And how might compassion, even in small ways, ripple out from your life to someone else's? You know, at this time of day, everybody's walking their dog, and the dog's very protective. So I don't know if you can hear her, but she's letting people know that we live here. Okay. So going back, how might compassion ripple out from your life to someone else's? And I just want you to consider the power that you hold in not only offering compassion to others, but offering it to yourself. So may you be safe and may you be seen. May you be held. May compassion meet you exactly where you are. So thank you. That's my talk, Doc. I would love to hear how you're doing. What do you think about this notion of cultivating compassion over a lifetime? Leoti. Can't. There you go.
Okay. I loved what you said about it can just be a small thing. We think of healing as having to be some, just exactly as you said, some big eye-opening, you're standing on a waterfall, if that's possible, but it can be just a moment, and it's something you can offer to others.
Exactly.
I like having compassion, how it's reciprocal. You have compassion for yourself, and you can have more compassion for others, and vice versa. So, thank you for those
You're
wonderful points.
welcome. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much. Because it's kind of a simple thing, but it's not something we do all the time. You know? Thanks, Leoti. Okay. Where's Anita? There you are. Hi, Anita.
Hi. So I just want to say, like, I'm finding this very practical,
Yes.
it's very grounded in like living your life and kind of daily encounters and how you heal and I've been thinking a lot recently about kind of what I was like when I was like 12, like what my life looked like and how did I kind of get
Yes.
here? Do you know what I
Yes.
mean? So I've been wanting to do something like this is kind of really right, or sit down and you know what I mean, kind of. And the way that you described it enabled me to see, oh, okay, that was this building block, this building block. Do you know what I mean? And so,
Yes.
and the way that you're talking about being seen, and I do like conversation and connection and stuff, all around that. So I'm like all about that. I mean, that is just inherently connection in every, kind of sense. So being able to apply it in this way is really, really
Yeah.
well, and kind of is having me a whole different way of kind of thinking about how do I move through this and get to stop thinking about that. And then, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Bingo. You got it, Anita.
Yay. Well, thank you.
Got it.
I'm glad this is being recorded so I can go back and listen to it. And I also took notes. I was going back and forth on a Google Doc while you were
Okay.
talking.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anita and Liz. And I see people in the chat. I'm going to try to note everything in there because it looks so good. Okay. Liz, let me see. There we go.
Hi.
Hi,
You can
Liz.
also, hi, good to see you. Good to meet you.
You too.
Tremendously important topic. And one of the things, I was in a class where a teacher said that he wanted to practice invulnerability. And
Ooh.
I said, what? I
What?
said,
Okay.
I want to practice vulnerability. And I want to have all my feelings. And I want
Yeah.
to be able to tolerate them. I
Yes.
don't want to be invulnerable. And I just found this quote from not my favorite teacher, but a very wonderful quote
Okay.
from Deepak Chopra saying, "Embracing your vulnerability is the ultimate strength." And
Okay.
I just love that. I want to have all my feelings. I want to feel grief. I want to feel anger. I want to feel tenderness. It's part of my inheritance, and I don't want to be a stone, an unfeeling stone. But therefore, I need self-compassion. I
Yes.
need to forgive myself. I
Yes.
need to be present with everything and love myself.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing, and I didn't come to it until very late in life.
I
Very,
understand.
very, I'm 86 years old. I didn't start studying self-compassion until about 3 years
It's
ago.
never too late, Liz. It's never
Ne
too
ne
late.
ne never too late. Changed my
Right.
life radically. And self-compassion's enormously important, and I very much appreciate your talking about it and sharing it with others.
Thank
Very
you,
grateful.
Liz. That means so much. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, and it looks like Roberta. Let's see.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, good.
I really appreciated the across the ages, from the child to the present to the future.
Yes.
I've been working on shame and self-compassion, and kind of been working on this childhood experience. And but as I am able to give myself some compassion, I was unable to reframe the way I saw the experience with my mother when I was a child.
Okay.
And so it kind of ch it shifted my relationship with her in my mind.
I get
So
it.
that was really powerful.
I
And
get that.
it's also, and just doing that, it gave me more space to create in the future.
I lost the last part. It made more space
For the future.
for the. All right.
Future me.
Yes, I love it. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. Thank you.
I don't know why we're going off and on.
Okay, I'm sorting through here. Okay, let's see here. Who's typed? Asholo Beltley.
Yeah, good job. Asholo Piltzin.
Okay.
I know there's a new name for me, and every time after this on Wednesdays, my new peers, they're like,
Okay.
but anyways, that's a long story. They're doing a good job saying my name, and I appreciate that. I know you mentioned like something. Sorry, I can't be on camera. I'm walking the dogs, and I'm having connection with them here at the park and taking them out of the
Okay,
house,
that's okay.
But I know you mentioned like moments where I felt like hurt or that somebody expressed a lot of compassion.
Yes.
And I will never forget this moment. And it was in front of Jack Kornfield.
Yes.
And I was going through, before I got into like meditation and going to silent retreats, I met him and I expressed to him something that was happening in my life that was very, very painful. And I remember him putting his hand on his heart. I was like, Maya, wow, like he heard me. He could feel, like I could feel it. I could feel that he heard me. He could feel my pain. And just by putting the hand on the heart and being present in a non-judgmental way, it just got me into mindfulness because I was just like, I just want some of what he has. So whatever he has, I want it.
Exactly.
And I do that sometimes when people are going through a hard time. I put my hand on my heart.
Yes. I kind of do that too, almost not so much consciously anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, makes a difference.
Sometimes you can just do that and not even say anything, and the
Yeah.
person still feels
Yeah, exactly.
a connection.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing this, for being a messenger and bringing this topic.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Janet. Hi, Janet.
Okay, there we go. I was trying to unmute. Thank you. The talk was really very inspiring, and I really appreciate all you've given us this evening. Thank you for making the effort to tell Rick you wanted to come back in the summer. I also have taught college, so I understand the summer thing, but I'm retired now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just tell Liz, who spoke earlier, that what I heard her say is if you really want to embrace all of life, like Buddha said, the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows, then you must have compassion for yourself. And Liz helped me kind of see that clearly, and I wanted to thank her. And that's
Thank
all I
you.
wanted to say.
All right, gave me goosebumps. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, Dorian, is that it? I know you're not iPad, so you must be Dorian, right?
Great. Oh, thank you for calling on me.
Of course.
I kind of came, well, I had a very tumultuous childhood. Mm-hmm. My best memories, and there aren't a lot of positive memories of my childhood, was my mother soothing me.
Okay.
So my father was very stern. I would run from the dining table up to my bedroom crying. And my mother would come in and soothe me, and she would just stroke my forehead and just say, everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
And that's the image. I'm going to start crying here.
That came, huh?
That's the image that I bring up, that I am a good person.
Yes, you are.
Because the messages I got from my father, who ignored me, was that I was worthless. So that's the image that I bring up with for self-compassion when I need soothing.
Yes.
And I married someone who also had a traumatic childhood. He is wired totally differently. Touch is not something he got during his childhood. And so I crave this physical affection, and he doesn't know how to do it. See, right. I know that he has empathy and compassion for me,
right?
But he does it through service, you know, bringing me these great meals and checking on me and making sure I get my medicine and offering to take me for a drive and stuff. But as far as a hug or, you know, any kind of physical affection, that's kind of foreign to him.
Yes.
So I just learned to hug myself, or I will stroke my arm, or this is my mom, I will do this. But the big thing that I learned in the meditation that's really helped me fight my inner critic. I have a very complex disease that's a 24/7 job. And every day is a struggle. And I want to give up lots of times. But you extended that to now imagine yourself as an older person. Now, right. I'm 67. Yeah. And with this disease, I thought I'd be dead already. But I'm thinking, if I make it to 77 or 80, what will I think of myself looking back?
Yes.
And what that did was made me recognize, pretending that I was 77 or 80, that I didn't give up.
Yeah.
That I had the courage and the faith and those little bits of joy that I look for.
Yes.
I don't have the big joys of going for a hike for 8 hours. But I have birds in my backyard, and all I have to hear is a goldfinch cry.
Yes.
And I get this huge smile.
Yes.
That just fills my whole body. Those little joys and the peace that I get when I do connect with someone else.
Yes.
Like it could be the cashier at a shopping center, and I can see that they're stressed to the max. Right. And I would just say, hey, how are you doing today? And they would smile. or they would share with me that they're worried because they won't get to pick up their daughter at school or something. I mean, just that little connection will make my entire day.
I get it.
And so I just want to thank you for reinforcing little things that I picked up here and there and giving me the courage to not give up.
Yes, don't give up, Dorian. Don't give up. Thank you, Dorian.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So, you see all the little hearts and everything you're getting, Dorian? I hope you're receiving that too.
Is that
okay?
Thank you.
I guess I want to respect everybody's time. Well, guess Linda. We have next before we conclude, and I think you go into breakouts after that. I'm not sure, but thank you, Dorian. And Linda, we want to hear from you. There we go.
Yeah, I was waiting for permission. Thank everyone for what they shared. And especially what Dorian just shared, of course, was most recent. So my hand is on my heart for you. And I'm very much moved by everyone's, what people give in this group. And I just wanted to share that when you were talking about connections and, you know, just random connections, I know there's a phrase in the neuroscience called weak ties about the people that you just encounter in your everyday life. It could be a phone call to Comcast that you talk to somebody, or like you said, someone you see in a clerk in store, and that people who have more broader network of weak ties tend to be happier and healthier. And I wanted to share that I was on a Global Compassion Network online program with Reggie Hubbard. And I put in the chat my name, a greeting, and where I was from, which is Skokie, Illinois. And I got a message back from someone that said, "You're in Skokie." And apparently, this is someone who lives about 15 minutes from me. Said, "Let's meet. I think we have a lot in common." Just because we had both, you know, registered for this Global Compassion Network talk with Reggie Hubbard. And we did end up meeting, and we've become such good friends in such a short time.
Yes.
Never would have, she said, the names were scrolling so fast through the, you know, the chat. And she said, "I just saw Skokie." And then I was searching word service. And so she sent me a message, and that was, like soul sisters. It's the craziest thing. And how random was that? There were people on there from all over the world. And it just so happened that we were 15 minutes apart. And I think that's some magic of what you were talking about, at least to me. That's what I thought of, that. And I call those glimmers, you know, those moments.
Yes.
Dorian said, with hearing the birds sing in her yard, I think that I'm learning over time how to pause and make those glimmers like imprinted in my soul, so that even the little moments, they're profound and lasting.
Yes.
So I wanted to share that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I just want to thank everybody who shared. I don't know if I can get a copy of that chat, but if that's possible, I would love it, because people were really sharing from your heart. Really. I feel you. I receive it. I'm so encouraged when I encounter people who can open their hearts, right? And let the other person know. So I want to thank you for having me. I know I'm not Rick. He's like, you know, he's Rick, right? So knowledgeable and my teacher and mentor as well. And so I feel pretty humbled that he allows me to come in and share during the summers when I'm not teaching on Wednesday nights. I hope to see you again. If you see me out anywhere, please connect with me on any of the media formats. And I hope to see you at least next summer, if not before. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.